last night and all those shelves were empty. And I thought, what's going on here? People are more scared of coronavirus than they are of God. So anyway, that's as much as I'm going to say before I get fired. Daniel asked me to speak on about faith, furthering the faith. And my confession is, this is the first time that I do a sermon in English. I have spoken to English-speaking people, but I have had a translator, interpreter. So if you don't know a word that I say, just try to make it up. Because English is my second language. So the disciples told Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus pretty much told them, if you had faith, then I can increase it, but you don't have any faith. So you need to ask for faith. And of course, that's deeper than easy to say it and hard to do. But if we refer to Acts 14, I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but Paul was just beaten up, stoned to death, but it wasn't the time for him to die. In chapter 14, verse 22, he tells the church that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. I want us all to read Isaiah 63, 1 to 6. If you have a Bible, if you don't, just listen to it. Isaiah 63, 1 through 6. And it says, who is this coming from Edom, from Bozra, with his garment stained crimson? Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red like those of one threading the winepress? I have thrown the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and threw them down with my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all my clothing. It was for me the day of vengeance, the year for me to redeem had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm achieved salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. If there is one thing I have to say about that paragraph, is that Jesus already did his part. And now it is our time to do our part for Jesus and for the church. The definition of faith, as I see it nowadays, is to get physical healing, to get money, and to get power. And that is completely the wrong perspective of faith. The Bible speaks about different wisdoms, and so there are different kinds of faiths. There is a faith about microorganism and an explosion, and then a gorilla, and then you're sitting right there. That's a faith. And we have our own faith also. It's a matter of which one you want to pick. God said, let it be light. Does it take 3 billion years for that to happen, or 5 billion years? And do we believe that? I guess that's the question that Jesus asked in Mark 9 to this man. Do you think I can do that? Do you believe that? Can you believe that? So point number one I want to make this morning is we have to live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34. And when you have been through so many tribulations, older people understand this concept, that we have to learn to live one day at a time. This life is very harsh. As he was saying, when God takes the training wheels of our life, it's pretty bad. And God keep telling us, keep pushing, keep doing it. So there is animal power, mind power, and spiritual power. In the so-called developed countries, we have in high esteem the cognitive mind power and attractiveness and so forth. But spiritual power goes way beyond that, and we have to look for that kind of power to increase our faith. So there are two sections of the Bible that I want to leave with you this morning. That's Joshua 1:1-9 and Deuteronomy 6. You know, God says that we need to pray and read the Bible. Read the Bible and pray. That is a conversation with God. It is very 2015, I remember a preacher, he was talking about Revelation 21:1. And I had never thought about this issue, you know. It says that cowards will not go to heaven. I mean, I never thought about it. And I've been doing it. I've been doing trainings and seminars for the last 26 years. And it says that cowards cannot be close to God. So what I can say is we need to learn to stand alone. We need to learn to pull through it. There will be problems and difficulties. My wife and I have gone through three of them within the last 3 years. And I'm not saying it's easy, but we have to learn to stick with God. So King David is about to die, and I don't know how Solomon was. I don't have a picture or a video. But in 1 Kings 2, verse 2, King David told Solomon, look, man, I'm about to die. You got to be tough. You need to pull up your pants and be tough. Be a man. Be a man. If you're a woman, act like a woman. If you're a man, act like a man. And somebody here say, fake it till you make it. I don't think it was Santa Claus. I keep forgetting his name because everybody keep calling him Santa Claus. But anyway, the point here is we got to get it done. There is no option. We either emerge or die, spiritually speaking. And I wish I had the time to read and talk about Psalms 90, where Moses speaks about how fragile we are. And how delicate we are, like a flower. And the poet was trying to, he was trying to describe life. He was trying to come up with something about life. So he was thinking a lot, and he went for a walk in the woods. And then he found this dead body. It was just bones. And he saw the skull, the section of the head, just the bones. Inside the skull, he saw a little bit of dirt. In the little bit of dirt, he saw a little tiny, beautiful flower. And he told the flower, "Poor flower, how bad were you born and how sad was your birth. That the first step you took in life, you were faced with death. To pull you out is very bad. To take you with me is very sad. But to leave you with life is to leave you with death." And so Moses, going back to Psalms 90, says that pretty much the minute we are born, we start dying. I am trying to say that we need to take advantage of our time with God. Take advantage of every single hour and every single minute that we have. In the faith, we die to ourselves each day, every day. Older people who have gone through a lot, they know exactly what I am talking about. We can be so close to the United States and to Switzerland and so far from God. When we look at the mainstream out there and follow that, unless we have time for God. At a different church, I was sitting to a very important person, and he was relating to me, I don't know why, about problems with his wife. And I was quiet. And then he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, I think you got to pray for her." "Well, didn't you hear that this is her problem?" "Yes, I did." "Well, have you prayed for her?" "You know, I suggest we read the Bible and pray every day, at least an hour." "At least an hour? What? Who has time for that?" Okay. If you don't have time for a meeting with the governor of Texas, what makes you think that the governor of Texas has time to meet with you? But if you don't have time, well, I mean, we're not talking about the governor of Texas. We're talking about the maker of the universe. And we need to stay connected one day at a time with him. Every day. We need to make the best effort. And this is non-negotiable. In different occasions, we can ask God for wisdom and from different things. But you know, when it comes for you to be strong in the Lord, it doesn't say ask for its strength. It mandates you, you know, be tough. Be tough. And I'm not talking about Steven Seagal and all that stuff. I'm talking about being strong in the Lord, holding on to our faith, and growing in the faith. The Word of God is not one more self-help book. Deuteronomy 6 and Joshua 1, you can memorize it and meditate on it. It's very easy to do so. The Word is life, and it's alive. Trying to see that stuff over there is very, it's this, okay. So the first question I have here is, are you reading and praying every day? And I'm not talking and trying to make you feel bad, but this is our profession that we chose to be in the Spirit and to talk, have a conversation with God. The two greatest saviors that God gave us, Moses and Jesus Christ, one in the flesh and the other God in spirit, they spent days and nights in prayer. Are we better than them? I don't think so. I don't think so. We should be praying more often and reading the Bible. You know, don't ask me why it is mystical, it's spiritual. I memorized 1 Corinthians 13 like close to 30 years ago and books and chapters of the Bible. But every single time I read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7, I go speechless because we are so fallen. Have you read it? You know, word by word? So I think the message is, every time you read the Bible, every time we read the Bible, we are going to get something different, something else from the Holy Spirit. Angels are fighting for us in the heavenly realms. What are we doing, and where and how are we doing it here? Just to give you a very small example, when my wife was delivering the first girl, Cielo, she was going through the hardest time, and the baby just didn't want to come out. She wanted to stay there. And for 17 hours, you know, I didn't stop praying. She had to go through C-section at the end. I didn't stop praying. You know, let the doctors do their job, but you keep praying. And the angels are working on our behalf, but we have to be working here also for what it pertains to us. Matthew 6, Jesus Christ said, take one day at a time. So the problem I see in these times, you know, I'm 50 years old, and I feel like a tortilla in between the teeth. Because you have this new generation of kids, and they are so extremely smart. I give them something electronic, and they fix it in a minute. And I ask my daughter, how did you do that? And she say, I don't know. And then I feel more stupid. But then you know what? I ask some young people, are you able to look inside the eye of an older person, smile, and give them a hug? And they say, I don't know how to do that. So we are on the same page. You know, older people, you guys just have to be patient with this new generation. And the new generation, you know, just respect older people. Because they've been going through a lot. And they know. They know a lot more, even though they're not perfect. Where does God need you? Does he need you in Nineveh? I think that's the way you pronounce it in English. In Spanish, it's Nineveh, right? Nineveh? Jonah? You know, Jonah, he was sent there. So what are we doing in Spain? He took off the other way. When God is calling us to do his work, to do his job, we need to listen to that. We need to be attentive to that and be where God needs us. Christ loves the church, and Christ is coming back for his church. What can I do for the church? Give money Well, that's perfect. What else? What else? And you know, I don't have the words to exactly congratulate those parents who are growing children in the church. But if you see parents with teenagers and little children bringing them to church, can you take the time to congratulate them and hug them? Because let me tell you, I've been in big churches, you know, 3,000 plus, 5,000 plus. And those kids get out of high school and you never see them again in church. It's not easy these days. I have been following up with the statistics according to the Pew Center about Muslims. They are growing. Yes, they are. And they have been growing. Can we learn something from them? I think we can learn something from them. They are not taking a step back. They do not compromise. And yes, we do have to learn from them. So we need to start meditating on the Word of God. You know, there is a process. First, we study the Bible. First, we read the Bible. Then we study the Bible. Then we process the Bible. And then we start meditating it so that it can get to the heart. The problem of faith these days, I think I'm jumping ahead with this. You know, but people are questioning God and the Bible too much. And I'm not talking about people that don't believe in God, I'm talking about Christians. And number two is reading self-help books more than the Bible. Number three, preachers are listening more to Max Lucado, to John McCartan, etc., 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 etc. The last name I mentioned wrote a book of 360 plus pages. It's out there, go read it. To prove that baptism is not needed. Okay, there is water in the plan. There is water in the plan. And anybody who comes to Christ has to go through water. So how do we evangelize people? How do I do that? You know, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or if you're non-Christian. I do the same thing. I read the Bible and pray with you. That's it. I just read the Bible and pray. That's all I do. How do you invite somebody to church? It takes about 5 seconds to 15 seconds. God bless you, and I give them a business card of the church. It is very simple. God, Moses, Elijah, Paul, all these people that you all know about, I'm just repeating this. They had to learn to stand alone. They had to learn to wait on God. Increase our faith. The essence of faith, and you better listen to this one, the essence of faith is to encourage other Christians when we are so beaten up, when we're stoned to death. That's what Paul did in Acts 14:22. That's what we need to be doing. It is not easy, but it can be done. We can practice. I want to end this by saying and repeating the words of Isaiah 66:1-6. Jesus did his part. It was his turn. Now it's your turn. It's my turn. So let's read it again. If anybody wants prayer, while I'm reading this, while we're reading this, if anybody wants prayer, if anybody wants to be baptized, just come up front. If you don't know what to do at church, you know, just ask Hilton and Jim and the deacons. Trust me, they have a lot of stuff for you to do at church. There is a lot to be done. But let's read it again. And if you want prayer, we will do so. So, who is this coming from Edom, from Bozrah, with his garment stained crimson? Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red like those of the one threading the winepress? I have thrown the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and threw them down in my wrath. Their blood is better than my garments, and I stained all my clothing. It was for me the day of vengeance, the year for me to redeem. I looked, and there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm achieved salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. Jesus did his part. Let's do our part. And we have a song, I think. Great.